hear from the preachers. Amen. Hey, it's a camp. Amen. But I think that the town, I thank God that Pastor Camp read the text. I don't have to read the text. Amen. He already read our text. Our text, of course, is 1 Chronicles 11, 10 through 18. The theme today for our text. And let me know if I'm not projecting loud enough. Can you hear me, Mother Lumpkin? Big Lumpkin? I know Peter Lumpkin can hear me, everybody. Can you hear me, Pete? Can you hear me, Pete? All right, thank the Lord. Amen. You can hear me, just wave your hand, Pete. Amen. So, we thank God again for our van drivers, Jason, Jack, Rose, and Matthew, Peter Lumpkin from, so we thank God for the work with the saints, to get the saints for this morning. Amen. So, we want our topic is breakthrough. We want to talk about moments of opportunity. We want to use, maybe just for a thing, maximize your moment. Amen. Maximize your moment. And I want to begin by saying, as I was in my car today, dropping my daughter off at her practice, one of the things the Lord showed me is that we have to make breakthrough our priority. In order to breakthrough, it has to be a priority. And the Lord told me today that a lot of us have a lot of priorities, but we want Him to make us the first priority. Amen? So look at our priorities. Look at yourself. Paul said, examine yourself what? Daily, right? So look at yourself. Look at your priorities. Think about your own priorities. Then what if God's priorities were your priorities? Where would that lead you? If God's priorities were your priorities, where would that lead you in terms of how many prayers you might get answered? Right? So the idea is, I think when we ask God for something, we have to make it a priority. Right, so today we're asking for a breakthrough. Breakthrough has to become a priority. Right, because I think what happens is we want to be God's first priority. How many of y'all want God to answer your prayers right away? How many of you want God to hear you every time He talks to you? How many of you want God to be there every time you need? Now, let's ask ourselves, are we any of that for God? Right? Do we answer God every time He calls us? Are we there whenever He needs us? And we want God to sacrifice, don't we? If God is taking care of Pastor Camp and I need something, I want Him to leave Pastor Camp and come and see about me. Don't we? Right, don't we? If we're in trouble at New Jerusalem, I'm telling God, go leave Hayes alone and come and see about us. Right? So the question is, do we do that for God? Right? So we have to make breakthrough our priority. If we want to break through, it has to become a priority. And then we have to make sure that it is a priority relative to all of our other priorities. Because we can stand up in church and testify and say, the Lord is my first priority. Right? How many of you guys have ever heard a testimony that starts with the Lord is the head of my life? Right? We all learn that. Now, we ought to have to measure that. Right? How does you measure whether or not God is ahead of your life? And you know what we measure? We measure it by priorities. Right? We all pray He's ahead of our lives. And after I get done writing down how I spend my day, how I spend my week, how I spend my month, how I spend my year, He's only the head of my life if He's a priority. Right? He's not the head of my life if He's not a priority. Right? So priorities are very important. So when we talk about breakthrough, and we talk about maximizing your moment, we want to talk about making breakthrough our priority at certain times. In other words, I believe there are certain times in life where you can get a breakthrough. Not that you can't get a breakthrough at every time, but there are certain times in life where a breakthrough is right available to you. The old folks used to say it's right ready for you. Because of all the stuff that's going on, you have an opportunity for a breakthrough. It's in your hands. All right, so first of all, I want to define breakthrough. And our military man, our military expert is here, so if I get something wrong, raise your hand. Right? But a breakthrough is defined as a military movement or advance all the way through and beyond fighting the enemy. That's not a breakthrough. Calling the devil a liar is not a breakthrough. Right? Even stomping on his head is not a breakthrough if he's going to whoop me as soon as I leave the church. Right? Shouting is not a breakthrough. Right? Speaking in tongues is not a breakthrough. Right? So all those things may be a symbol that the breakthrough is happening, but they're not the breakthrough. Right? A breakthrough is a military movement or a mass all the way through and beyond an enemy's frontline defense. An act of instance or moving or surpassing an obstruction or restriction. The overcoming of a stalemate, right? Some of us have been battling the same thing for 20 years. As long as that battle there, I have not broke through. Right? I might have moments where the devil leaves me alone. Because remember, the Bible says that the Lord loses the enemy to do what? To test us for a season. So sometimes when the enemy leaves me alone, not because I broke through, but because God told me to leave that boy alone. Right? So sometimes the Lord will tell us, just leave them alone. They sit there crying all the time. I'm tired of hearing them cry. Just leave them alone for a while, right? And so then he'll let the enemy come back, right? Remember, when Christ was on earth, Satan had opportunities to tempt Jesus. He had an opportunity to touch Jesus, but then there were other times he had to leave Jesus alone, right? So Satan is subject to who? He's subject to the same person we should be subject to, right? He's subject to God. Right? Satan is such a God. Satan cannot battle unless God allows him to. Right? And so, it says, a significant or a sudden advance. So some of these things, the breakthrough can happen suddenly. It doesn't have to take 6 months, 3 years, 5 years. It can happen suddenly. If it's what? If it's a priority. If I come to church saying, Lord, before I leave the church, I want this to happen, it might happen. But if I come to church not having a goal at all, right? We're a fifth anniversary service. Some of us should have come here tonight with a goal. Right? We should have a spiritual goal to get something out of these services. Right? Lord, I want something while I'm in the Dominique this weekend. Get me something. Give me something. Right? We've got to have a goal. There's no way you can beat an army if you don't have a goal. Right? So we got to have a goal. Then it says, so even after the breakthrough, now this is what I like about that. Once you break through, then you get what? You get achievement increase and advancement, right? So the breakthrough is not just getting past, but then once you get past, you mature and grow, right? So a breakthrough, first of all, involves getting through. Then it involves receiving after you get through. See, too many of us celebrate, right? We celebrate and then the enemy comes right back and knocks us down again. Right? You ever see somebody who comes to church every 3 months, they got a powerful testimony. You only see them those 3 months. Right? But every time they come back, they do have a powerful testimony. God is doing this, and then they fall back for 3 months. Right? So they may be breaking through, but they're not advancing after the breakthrough. So the problem is, if you don't advance after the breakthrough, you'll get caught back up in that stuff you came out of, right? So after we break through, we've got to advance beyond the point where we broke through. So breaking through is not just getting through, it's advancing after the breakthrough. All right, now, so I believe that there are moments that we can break through. Now, the other thing I believe is that I don't believe that breakthrough is just something simple, right? And the way I sort of compare it is a headache versus a migraine, right? If I have a headache, I need to break through a headache, take Advil and call me in the morning. Alright? So, but if you have migraines, serious migraines, and you get rid of those migraines, that's a breakthrough. See, so everything in our life does not require a breakthrough. Right? Some of the things in our life just require getting over it or coming through or getting victory over it. But a breakthrough is something that's serious in your life. So when I think of breakthrough, I think of high places and strongholds. Right? High places in our lives and strongholds in our lives, right? So if you think about strongholds, strongholds are a defensible place, a fortress. So strongholds used to be those things that Satan has built a wall in your life. So every time you pray, your prayer will penetrate the wall. Right? You ever pray about something, as soon as you get up praying, you fight it again. Right? That's what a stronghold is. See, a stronghold means the devil has it, and he's defending it. Right, he's defending, so there's something in every one of our lives, the devil loves to defend certain things in our lives. Right? But he said, your grace is sufficient. Now, he's telling the Lord, I'm not going to let you, Satan, leave you alone on that. That's good for you. But no, you shouldn't try to break through it. You got to break through until God tell you it's not his will for it. See, Paul tried to break through until God told him it's not my will for you to break through. I want you to carry that with you, right? But remember, it was something that Satan had that Paul won victory over. So in our lives, Satan will have things in our lives. Sometimes they're mental, right? They're physiological. Sometimes they're physical, right? Everybody know what I mean by physical? Sometimes it's just your body. Your body can be a breakthrough, right? Because the devil will try to steal our praise by messing with our body, right? Sometimes it gets our mind, right? One of the ways it gets our mind is what we call through vexation. Vexation, anybody know what vexation is?
Yes.
Right? Vexation is when Bishop Hayes walks in the door, and as soon as he walks in the door, I'm just on my nerves. That's what vexation is, right? There are some people who walk around vexed. If you read the New Testament, there were many people who at that time they were vexed. Right? The Bible says the Satan had vexed them, so basically everywhere they went, they were just bothered. Right? So sometimes we allow people to vex us. Right? So every time I see Bishop Hayes, there I go. You know what I'm saying? That's vexation. Right? We got to get victory over vexation. Because I can't praise the Lord if my mind is on Bishop Hayes. Right? Bishop Hayes said three rows away, but I can't get my praise on because he's in the house. That's what vexation is. Right? So we can get victory. Vexation requires a breakthrough. Right? So sometimes we get vexed by people. Sometimes we get vexed by things. Some of us are vexed by our jobs. Right? You hate your job so much as you begin to vex you. Right? If you come to church and all you think about in church is your job is vexing you. Right? You've got to get victory over your job. You don't want your job to have victory over you. Right? You don't want your boss to have victory over you. You want to have victory over your boss. Right? So different things. People, places, and things tend to vex us. Right? So they tend to be strongholds. Or they tend to be high places. Right? What are high places? High places are an elevated site. Now, the reason why it's elevated is because we feel like we can't break down. Right? If you think about how we live life, most of us have gotten through so many challenges. But what got you through that challenge is you thought, I can get over this. Right? But there's always something that says like that thing, I can't get over it. That's your high place. Right, see, the high place is the thing you have not yet told yourself, I can get victory over that. Right. There are many things in life. If you think about your life, just think about how many things you come over and you got over. It looked big at first, but you said, I can make it, right? But high places are those things we keep telling ourselves, I can't do anything about that. I can't resolve that issue. That thing is just, that's a high place, right? High places call for a breakthrough, right? So strongholds and high places require breakthrough. Right, they require breakthrough. You have to break through those things. So, my argument is that at certain times, or during certain stages of life, breakthroughs are more likely. Not that you can't break through any time, but the idea is sometimes in life, the stage is set for a breakthrough. Right, so this is Agape's 5th anniversary. Their theme is breakthrough. So if you're a member of the Agape Church, you're set up for a breakthrough. Right? Right? You're set up for the visitation of the Lord. You're set up in your life for some high places. And I'm not saying that New Jerusalem and Atlanta and California can't take care of evangelism as well. But right now, God has set this up for you guys. Right? The Bible says that when the water was troubled, then they could be healed. Right? And so once the Lord announced the breakthrough is your topic, that gave you guys an opportunity for the pool, to jump in the pool. Right. Now, in the Bible, only the first one got healed. Right? We don't know if that's the case now. Right? So if you see somebody else jumping, you're jumping right behind them. God may not have that restriction or that limitation, right? But everybody in Agape right now, this is your potential moment for a breakthrough. Right? Because it's your theme, it's your 5th anniversary. So it's a moment in life, right? So what you have to do is you gotta say, Lord, let me maximize this moment, because that shit is gonna be your theme. Right? So while this is my theme, while this is what we're going to be talking about, while this is not going to be hearing word about, let me bring these high places and strongholds in my life down right now. Right? Because generally, in order to bring a high You have to concentrate, focus, and you have to be able to deliver. Right? Out of the high pressure fire, strict focus. Most of us are so distracted by life that we don't even concentrate on our high places. Right? We just sort of say, okay, that's just me. That's just, not me. Don't raise your hand. But how many guys have heard this say, that's who I am? Don't raise your hand. Right? That's just part of me, right? And it may be part of you, but thank God for deliverance. Right? Thank God for transformation. Right? Thank God for renewal. Thank God for revival. Right? So even stuff that's part of us, the Lord can transform it, especially if it's hindering us. Right? A lot of times, strongholds and high places, they don't hinder us publicly, but they hinder us privately. Right? And the reason why they hinder us privately, because they leave us thinking that God can't use us the way He really wants to use us. Right? So we have strongholds and high places. They tend to hinder us privately because there's things God wants you to do, but every time you try to do those things, Satan can bring up your high place and your stronghold to get in your way. Right? And the Bible says that Satan is the what? The greatest accuser of the who? Right, that's what Satan does. So if Satan knows that you have a high place, and Satan knows you have a stronghold, that's what I said, well, how does Satan know what my stronghold and my high place are? Because you tell me every day. Right? We tell Satan, Satan does not know our minds, but he watches our behavior. So he knows our stronghold and our high place from our behavior. Right? So Satan does know what my stronghold and my high place is. He knows what your stronghold and your high place is. So what he does is he takes that accusation before you. Right? The Lord tells you, I need you to preach at the convention. What are you going to do? Satan's going to try to flash up all that stuff to get the thing. I can't preach at a convention. I'm not worthy to preach at a convention. Right? So what the Lord, what Satan does, he tries to use our strongholds and our high places to create feelings of unworthiness. Right? So then we won't let God use us. That's why God put the story in about Paul saying, my grace is sufficient. So you would understand. That's why you got to know your Bible. Right? Because Satan can't beat the word. Right? So if you know your Bible, and Satan comes to you with those accusations, you can say, hey, well, God says grace is sufficient. Greater is he that is where? Than he that is what? Right? So as long as God is in you, right, then you can go. Right? I preached out so long ago the potter, right? If you go back and read that story in Jeremiah about the potter, the clay is in the potter's hand, but the Bible says the clay was what? It was marred. So it was in the potter's hand, but it was marred. So what does that mean? We're in God's hand, but we're marred. We're not perfect. You're in his hand, but you're not going to be perfect. Satan's going to keep telling you you have to be perfect and you can be used by God. You got to keep selling Satan. The Bible didn't tell me I have to be perfect. The Bible told me Christ will make me perfect. See, you don't have to be perfect. Christ just makes us perfect. Right? We stand in the blood of Jesus Christ. We stand in the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's our perfection. But it's not that we're perfect. So once I understand as a soldier that I'm going to be marred, right? But I still got to go to battle, right? When the U.S. sends their military to war, those men aren't perfect. They've been trained, but they still can make mistakes. But they have to let them know, even though you might make mistakes, you have to be confident enough to know you got to go to war. Because if they're not confident enough to go to war, they might as well not go, right? If they're not believing that they can go to Afghanistan, Iraq, and win, they might as well not go. Right? And the same way with us, if we don't believe that we can bring down our hard places and troubles, or if we don't believe we can overcome them, then the Lord might as well not send me. Right? Because he knows once I get out there, the Lord already knows Satan is going to accuse you, mess with you, tease you, mock you, mimic you, make fun of you. So you got to already overcome that before you go. See what I'm saying? Because otherwise it's going to be like Gideon. You got to remember Gideon, right? The Bible says, Gideon, hey, you got 22,000 siblings. And no, just tell the ones who are scared to go home. Right? Because what? They were scared, but they had stronghold in high places. Right? Then he said, well, you know, you still got too many. Right? So let's start to see the ones who are humble enough to laugh. All right? Then all the rest get to go home. I'm just going to deliver the country, what, 300 people, right? But the idea was that had they had enough confidence, right, in God, you don't have confidence in yourself. Paul said, my confidence is who? It's in the Lord, right? So you have to have enough confidence in God that he can help you overcome your high places and your strongholds. Right? Because you didn't necessarily bring your high places and your strongholds to yourself. They came with you. Right? They came with the package. Right? So when Adam and Eve was created, they had high places and strongholds. Now, if they had not eaten of that tree, their high places and strongholds might not have ever been revealed, but they ate of the tree, right? So the same with us. A lot of times, the reason why our strongholds and our high places manifest themselves is because we hang around the wrong people, we hang around the wrong places, or we do the wrong things, right? So there's a lot of muscles that are in us, right? Thank God for a quiet church. Right? But there are a lot of muscles in each of us. But if you don't go to the wrong place, don't hang around the wrong people, and don't do the wrong thing, you'll never see those muscles. Right? But if you end up in the wrong place, you'll see things about yourself you never thought. But the thing is, God has a lot of stuff in us, but because we're saved, thank God for salvation. Amen. We're never going to see that. Since there's a certain side of yourself you're never going to see in your whole life. As long as you say, amen, good thing. Right? There are certain sides about each of us we will never see because we're saved. Right? Because we're not going to put ourselves in situations and love and circumstances where those things will come out. Alright? So, we have to take advantage of those moments. Now, my basic premise is that most people, many, many people spend church their whole life. A lot of people have been in church their whole life, right? But I'm a big believer, you guys can all stand and disagree, that if most people who are 18 to 35 or during those 18 to 35 years, most people aren't quite serious. Now, there are a few exceptions, right? But if you look at church, when I say church, I talk about the global church, right? 18 to 35, there's a lot of people who are not quite serious. Right? So they spend a lot of that time testing and experimenting, don't raise your hand. Right? Doing things, you know, that's wrong. Mom and dad said that's wrong, but at least I try to want to push up. Right? They go to places that they, you know, they haven't been their whole lives, but they finally get a little freedom, they take a little trip out of town. Okay, because mom and dad in church would let me do it, but nobody's around, so I'll go there and die. I always want to see what they do in there anyhow. Right? So 18 to 35 for most people is a lot of testing, a lot of experimentation, to some extent some rebellion. Right? And so that moment in itself represents opportunity for breakthrough. Right? And so I would say the people who can live holy, I'm saying live holy on purpose. I'm not saying be saved. There's a difference between being saved and living holy. Right? There are some people that are going to be saved, but I don't know how holy they are, right? But if you can live holy, a consecrated, dedicated life, 18 to 35, when you come out of that age group, you're way ahead of most people that age. Right? You're way ahead of most people that age, because most of them have played around, taken breaks, taken vacations, told the Lord, I'll see you in a couple of years. Right? Now, we all been in church long enough to have seen that happen. It didn't happen to us personally, right? But that 18 to 35 age group is a hard group to work with, right? Because they all gone through all these different things and everything, and a lot of times it's just hard for them to stay anchored in the Lord. Some of them do it, but the ones who do it stay way ahead of, and they come out of that age group, they stand ready to do work in the church, right? A lot of people come at 18 to 35, they got to take another 15 years to recover from that age. I said, they did so much stuff in our age, they got to take from 35 to 40, they got to get saved again. And then they can start working in the church, right? Right? We all been there, amen? Right? So then, I'm just quickly running through what I think are some moments where this is a time where we really can break through. First of all, is when we get saved, right? If you get saved right, right? Man, you can blossom. As I always say, there are people who get saved and with 1 year, they're ready to preach to themselves. Because they got saved, they got into it, they started on fire, they didn't let anybody mess with them, they didn't get involved in any mess. So that first year of salvation, that first point of salvation is so important. Right? Because if you get it just right, you turn on fire, you convince yourself to the Lord can do great things with your life. And generally, you're wide open. It's just like a baby. When a baby is born, that baby is wide open. Right? That baby, it's like a sponge. The baby takes in its environment. No, that's what we are when we first get saved. 30 years later, separate yourself and do some great things. Okay, when we come into the knowledge of the truth, so when the Bible calls us moving from babes, moving from milk to what? Meat, right? So as we move from milk to meat, that's a great time for a breakthrough, right? Because what you want to do is you want to grapple. The Bible says deep call unto what? Deep, right? So you want to then grapple and wrestle then differently than how you wrestle with them before as a babe, right? You want to begin that. Then you also, as you grow in the church, you learn that everything in the church is not good. Right? You learn you can't hang around with everybody in the church. You can't go to every event in the church. There's some events that the church holds sometimes are questionable, bishop. See what I'm saying? Right? Every flyer the church sends out, you may not, the Lord may not tell you to go to that stuff. Right? So you now begin to discern, right? That's the word we're looking for. We begin to discern, spiritually discern situations and people and things, and we begin to understand that I can't wrestle with everything. Right? Now I'm going to get a break. Right, remember, it is my priority to break through. Right? I can't wrestle with everything and everybody if I want to break through. Right? Then we start moving from the doctrine to what? Perfection. Right? So once you get saved, the doctrine becomes very important. But at some point, Paul says, you got the doctrine, I need you to move on to perfection. And perfection centers around love. Perfection centers around service. Right? Doctrine centers around teaching people. Perfection centers around helping people. You teach people, but at some point you want to help the people who you taught. Right? You don't want to just teach people and leave them stranded. Now you want to help them now that you taught them. Now I'm going to move through this quickly. As you take on major roles in the church, those are times for breakthrough. Right? And again, I said this on Sunday when I was preaching to Monticello, is that pastors are in a hard situation because the church needs leadership. But in order for the church to have leadership, we got to have leaders. But the leaders got to be leading before you put them in a position. See, that's what saints don't understand. Pastors is very difficult for a pastor. I'll take myself. If I'm not faithful, if I'm not dedicated, if I'm not committed, and then Mother Uncle is a pastor, and I'm going, Mother Uncle, let me lead the altar. Looking at me. She said, listen, brother, I need people to lead the auxiliary who then can help other people come to church more. You know what I'm saying? But if all your auxiliary leaders don't come to church, how am I telling the people following them to come to church? Right? Saints don't understand that. The pastor's always in a very difficult situation because he or she needs leaders who he then can point out as examples. See, when Paul wrote his letters, he said, here are my examples. Right? So, if I don't go to church at all, my uncle might say, Pastor Harvey, you can talk, you are articulate, you good, but you don't come to church. So if I make you auxiliary leader, then all the other auxiliary leaders, what are they going to say? How can he be auxiliary leader and he don't come to church? Why should we come to church? See, saints don't understand that. Leadership has to happen before you take the position. You put pressure on the pastor. You keep saying, let me do this, let me do this. The pastor's saying, do this, just come to church. Just pray, just fast, just pay your tithes. Right? I'm not telling my auxiliary members to pay their tithes while I pay my tithes. Right? So the pastor feels bad when they got a person who don't pay their tithes and they are nobody always think I'm talking about them. Right? The nurses got 12 ushers under her, right? And she don't pay her tithes. There's no way that any nurse's auxiliary means she can ever say we ought to be paying our tithes. She don't pay her tithes. You see my point? So the pastor has to try to say, I need auxiliary leaders, I need leaders in church who pay their tithes so the people will come and I don't know. That's what we do. We pay our tithes. Right? But if I stand in front of the church, pay the tithes! And then every time the tithe guy will come around, I'm not putting nothing in this, I'm not going to throw it under that door. sometimes make other people's job easier. See, you make your auxiliary leader's job easier when you call some people without them having to text and call you 100 times. You make the pastor's job easier when you are a good leader, because then he or she feels comfortable putting you in leadership positions. But there's nothing harder, this is not just church, anything. There's nothing harder than putting people in leadership that you know deep down they really shouldn't be there. Because they're not reflecting to the church good. Right? Because it gives other people an excuse not to do stuff. If the preachers don't live right, how can you tell the up-and-coming preachers to live right? And they already know the preachers you got living raggedy. Right? So how can you tell all the other, y'all want to be preachers, y'all got to live right? They're going to start looking at your current preachers. Right? Right? So if we want a breakthrough, we got to have the breakthrough before we have the breakthrough. See what I'm saying? We got to start having the breakthrough before we have the breakthrough. Marriage, beginning of family life, various stages of, and then growing up. So I'll finish here and talk about planned and unplanned circumstances. So sometimes this anniversary is planned. So it's a planned opportunity for agape to break through. It's planned. But there are so many things that happen in our life. Sickness, death, right? Job promotion, job loss, job transfer. Every time something like that happens, it's an opportunity for a breakthrough, right? It's an opportunity for a change. I always say the same folks, every time you go to a new environment, tell them you saved, right, when you get there. Because what the devil loves to do is save folks. He loves to get you in a new environment where nobody knows you're saved. Right? If somebody don't know you're saved, you might not act saved. Right? But once you tell them you're saved, that puts pressure on you to live right, right? So every time you go to a new environment, you gotta tell people I'm saved. Right? You don't have to brag about it, but you tell them I'm saved because you wanna, and you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for yourself. Because once you do it yourself, you put pressure on yourself to live right. Right? Saints go on vacation, some of them take a vacation from God. Thank God for the quiet church. We don't want to take a vacation from God just because we're on vacation.
Come on.
Right? So sometimes you gotta tell your fellow vacationers, we're saved. Right? Right? You go on a cruise and on cruises, and there's nothing wrong with cruises. But you have to stay off of some of those decks. Stay out of that gambling hall, which is the most of the ship. Right, right? And part of the way to do that is tell dinner, right, with other people who you don't know, you got to tell other folks, we're saved. So other folks doesn't see in the gambling hall, right? But if you don't tell them right and quick, you might be tempted to go up in there. Right? So it's better to tell them right now. How many of you ever been on vacation where you ran into somebody you knew anyway? Isn't that amazing? I was in Antigua, and I was walking down somewhere, and a lady walked up and said, you are a man. Testimony on vacation. Yeah. Right? You don't want to lose your opportunity to testify and witness on vacation. Right? So even on vacation, you got to live holy. And you got to live. So my final point here is we want to make breakthrough a priority in our lives. Right? And then when we make it a priority, we got to be able to discern when this is my moment. Right? So there's going to be points in your life where this is going to be your moment for your breakthrough. It doesn't apply to that. See, that's the other thing I'm trying to get people to center. Quit comparing yourself to other people. There are too many saints, they act as a team. God wants us to be in unity, but he wants us to be an individual unity. Right? Because if her and I are a team, and she won't do it unless I do it, and she won't do it unless I do it, you know what's going to happen? God can't use us. Because sometimes she's going to say no. You know what? God still needs somebody to say yes, and she says no. Right? Job said, thou soundest like a what? A what? That's a quiet church. What did Job say to his wife? Look at y'all. raising myself from this untoward generation. Right? That's what he was saying. He was saying, yes, we're one in the flesh. Yes, we're one, but if God tells me to do something, then I got to go. I hope you come. But if you don't come, I got to go anyhow. Right? And that's why I'm trying to get the saints to understand what unity is. Unity is not conformity to your brother or sister who's not yet ready. See, everybody in church is not yet ready for a breakthrough. Right? So a lot of us ought to call. We sit there and say, okay, who else going? Right, right. The pastor says something. Who else gonna stand for? Somebody stand for $100. I thought we don't do this. Right? But stand for $100. We wait to see who's gonna stand first. Right? But you know, we gotta do more for God because it's our personal conviction. Right? It has nothing to do with what anybody else has done. That's my personal conviction. Your breakthrough is your breakthrough. Right? Your breakthrough is your breakthrough. You gotta get it no matter whether anybody in church gets their breakthrough. You gotta get your So you have to make sure you're not comparing yourself to other people. And the problem with comparing yourself to other people is if you compare yourself to people who are weaker than you, you always don't feel like you're strong. But you're not strong, they're weak. Right? So that's why you don't compare yourself to other people. I can find somebody who I can beat at basketball. You know what I'm saying? If I go to enough parks, there's somebody out there who I can beat. But I'm not going to get any better playing people who I can beat. Right? You get better by playing people who are better than you. Right? And the way you get stronger as a saint is hanging around people who are stronger than you. Right? You get your breakthrough by being with people who got their breakthrough. Because they can show you and they can tell you how to get your breakthrough. God bless you. God bless you.